worship team, thank you guys for a wonderful Thanksgiving worship time. Yeah. Amen. That was just a glorious time of giving thanks to God. Amen. Please open your Bible to the book of Luke chapter 17. The title of the message is The Amazing Benefits of a Grateful Spirit. I'm going to be sharing some things today that are just revolutionary, really, in relationships and on your job and in society and among your friends and in finding favor with God. I found out some of the most amazing things about being thankful this week as I've studied and looked into God's Word and studied elsewhere. And I want us to look at this idea at this time and just at the very beginning of this. Aren't you thankful for everything that God has done for you? I mean, amen, praise God, what his benefits and his wonders and helping us throughout all of our lifetime has been so abundant. And now, today, at this Thanksgiving season, I want us to all pray, God, you've given so much to me, give me now a grateful spirit. Because I've been thinking that this passage that I'm about to read illustrates to God, speaks about how God feels about ingratitude and how that he is amazed, really, at the ingratitude that exists all around this world. And it's amazing to me to live in a place and a lot that God has blessed as much as he has America and given us so much, and it seems that often we lose the ability to really, truly be grateful. And we're going to find out today that it's a learned behavior. You don't have to let yourself be an ingrate. You can become a person that is filled with a new spirit of thanksgiving that everybody will benefit around you by coming in contact with you if you develop a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude. So let's read together in Luke chapter 17. And then, where is the microphone? Would you give that to Joe Carolyn? And I want him to pray after I read this for us. That God, and Joe, what I want you to pray specifically is that prayer, God, give us a grateful spirit. And let's focus on this Thanksgiving, saying, Lord, teach me like never before how to be thankful. Let me read the passage, and then we'll ask Brother Joe to pray for us. In verse 12 of Luke chapter 17, the Bible says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, and they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. What a glorious miracle this was. You can't imagine what must have gone through those lepers' minds as they saw literally the flesh that had been falling off of them, that had brought so much pain and grief to them. Suddenly they could see their hands. They must have felt their bodies. They were being healed. So as they went, they were cleansed. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, and he gave thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Is there not found any others to return to give glory to God save this stranger? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Let's pray together.
Father, again, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to thank you. On behalf of everyone here, Lord, you've been so good to us. I thank you for every breath that we take, Lord, every disease that you take away, every supernatural miracle that you give us, Lord. And I thank you for the love of the Father that while we were yet still sinners, you died for us, Lord. I thank you for what you did on the cross, that now we can just live forever.
Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus.
God, I thank you for Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name,
yes.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
Amen.
His faithfulness continues through all generations. God, give us that grateful heart for everything, for everybody.
Amen.
Most of all,
praise
for your son, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. In preparing for this message early in the week, I did some research about lepers, so I wanted to feel what a leper might have felt to really share about this. And as I read about their plight and understood, maybe I think I really, God helped me to experience a little bit of the emotions that must have gone through their hearts and minds. And let me just share this with you about emotions, that God is able to give you a heart that feels the way that God feels. And part of the big problem in most of our lives is that maybe we know a lot of stuff, but we don't really feel deeply in our hearts the way that God would really have us to feel toward other people. And these particular men, 10 of them, they were in a colony, because the leper was ordered by the law of God that he was to live by himself and could not go home, could not be with his children, could not be with his wife, or she could not be with her soulmate. Imagine the isolation of their living just a mile away, but forever for you. You could never touch the people you loved, and neither could they touch you. But you would have to identify yourself as these men did. When someone was seen a long way off, they would even be made to dress with disheveled dress and torn clothing, and their hair to be grown long, and so it would be easy to identify them as a leper. And they all looked the same. It was not bad enough that their very physical flesh was rotting away on their bodies, but they were to advertise themselves and cover their hand and their lip with their hand to yell, "Unclean! Unclean!" And by the very law of God, I cannot help but think that a leper would think, even God cares naught for me. My family doesn't want to be around me anymore. Can you imagine what it must have gone through their hearts? So they formed their own colonies. Because misery seems to treasure company. And only someone who is hurting so bad can really feel what another person feels. And so maybe they found comfort in being able to be together. But that great day of their life was when they saw Jesus afar off. They didn't yell, "Unclean," did they? Somehow they knew that they didn't have to yell that at him. They could yell something else, "Master, heal me, save me," and Jesus Christ did it. You'll know from other healings of lepers, when he came in contact with them, he was not afraid to touch them, but he touched their leprous body and healed them. So these 10 had the good fortune and unbelievable blessing to run into the healer, run into God and be healed of this terrible plight. And they went away, the 10 of them, afterwards to obey what God had told them to do with such joy probably they were thinking, I'm going to go kiss my wife right in the mouth. I'm going to hug my children or grandchildren. I'm going home as quick as I can. But only one of them stopped to come back. Why do you think that God may have put this message in the Bible? Because we should ask ourselves these questions all the time. What is this? What's the object lesson? What is he is trying to teach? And he's trying to teach this, that God himself is amazed at the ingratitude of people that have received so much. Of 10 of them were healed, he said. But where are the 9 of them? And what I think God is trying to say to us in this Thanksgiving message is this, that God, if anything happens in our life of spiritual effect, this needs to happen, that we grow a grateful, thankful spirit to God for all that he's done for us. I realized this year, several months ago, how thankful that I had become to God. But I didn't realize how important that was. I didn't realize what a step of maturity that I had made in becoming a grateful, thankful person. But I really am. I find myself being thankful for everything. I remember when I was in Vietnam, I thought, Lord, if you let me come home, I will praise you every day of my life. I'll thank you, and I'll try to get my act together. And I'll even go to church with Carolyn. And I told him I would be a preacher, but I had already backslid from that. And I said, since I got out, I don't have to do that. But I'll support others maybe, but I didn't. I came home, and within just a few months, I was almost back to my old ways. Carolyn was, we had a drug problem. She would drag me to church on Sunday mornings. And then she'd try to drag me to church on Wednesday sometimes. And I was going reluctantly. But then I kept thinking, and you better not think about what God has done for you or you'll be grateful. And thankful, and I was so grateful that God saved me. And I could never forget what he did while I was in Vietnam, that I finally gave my heart fully committed to him. But through the years, I've had a lot of experiences that have caused me to be grateful and thankful. I'm thankful that now, every time, sometimes I feel my heart, I feel it beating solidly and strongly, and I thank God for every beat of it, you know. And I thank God that I can breathe deeply the air that's around me, and sometimes I'll just smell up everything. I don't mean me smell up everything. I smell everything is what I mean. And enjoy all these wonderful smells, and I thank God for those wonderful smells of the flowers. My chicken yard, I like the way it smells. And I think I was standing out feeding my little chickens, and they were all down under my feet, and I crumbled up their feet, and they were all stepping on my feet and stuff and eating. I thought, man, I would not take anything. I thank you, God, for these little chickens. And I kept the rooster away from them because he wants to peck them and run them off. And I'm thankful for the steps that I take, because for several years it was very difficult and painful for me to walk. And the other day I was walking with someone, and they were having trouble keeping up with me in my stride. And I thought, hallelujah, I can outwalk somebody here now, you know. And I was thanking God of how good I could walk. And I have found, and I thought, God, I may be the most grateful person in the world, because my heart is filled with thanksgiving. And I really begin to see what a key that is to happiness. Through my own experience before I studied this, but as I studied about thankfulness and what God thinks about it, I thought, James, you're not nearly thankful enough, and I'm going to make sure that I grow in this quality of life for the rest of my life. And because it is so important, not just for my own benefit, you're going to see amazing benefits of being grateful that you never realized before when this sermon's over. But more important than that, it's a means by which you bring glory to God. See, he says, wasn't there 9 healed? Is there only one that's come back to bring glory to God? Do you see that giving thanks and genuinely being thankful is a means by which humankind bring glory to God? And not only that, but other people who witness that thankful spirit, their minds are focused up toward God because you give thanks to God. And that glory all goes to God. Sometimes people say thank you are for things that you've done. And you should always receive those thank yous with great gratitude yourself, but at the same time point to God, glory to God for this, that I have been used of God to help somebody, even though it's just a little bit. Thank God for that. See, that's the attitude that God is looking for in us. He's looking in that attitude of the Samaritan, the one that had such a difficult time in his life being a Samaritan and now a leper. But he was the only one that found favor with God that day, even though God healed them all. God was impressed, influenced by this man who came back, and he was bewildered by the fact that the others were not. Now, I found out so much about Thanksgiving, I'll have to quickly go through this. But I looked at every verse of Scripture in the Bible that had to do with Thanksgiving. And here's the kind of things I found. I'm only going to mention about four. But all throughout the Scriptures, I mean, from the very earliest time, God made it mandatory that people would give thanks in the law. They had sacrifices of thanksgiving that they were meant to bring to God to show God they were grateful and thankful, and it was ordered that they do it. You know, we need to teach our children to be grateful and thankful. Our kids have so much. Don't let them go through life. Don't let them go through life with all this abundance without giving thanks to you and to God, who is the one that gave it to them. Because the worst thing you can raise in life is an ungrateful child who doesn't appreciate the things that God has given to you and to them. So, and we can learn this by ourselves becoming grateful and thankful to God. And let me give you four or five insights that I learned about Thanksgiving. The first one is this: it's the correct way, and it may be the only way, to enter into the presence of God. Listen to what the Scripture says. Enter into His gates with what? With thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and to bless His name. You know, I've always been amazed in worship services to see some people come in and just have a glorious time praising God and filled with the Spirit of God, and then to see others going, what's the big deal? You know, I mean, they're untouched, unmoved, without any type of expressiveness on their hearts and minds, because clearly they're not in the presence of God. Though they're sitting here, they're not in God's presence. Because you enter into God's presence with what? Thanksgiving. If your heart is not grateful and thankful to God, you can't get there. You'll just be here geographically, but spiritually you'll be 1,000 miles away. So you come into God's presence with thanksgiving. I don't think we could get there in any other way than to be grateful to God for all that God has done. And so He commanded us to do that, but it needs to be our own free will choice to say, God, if I haven't learned to be grateful, I'm going to give You thanks anyway until I can get a grateful spirit for all that God has done for us. It is a means by which you may be able to experience God. Now, you can be driving down the highway and be filled with a grateful spirit to God, and your car, your automobile, will fill up with angelic presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, because God inhabits the praise and the thinking of men and women who will open their hearts up to God and say, God, I love You for all You've done for me, and I'm grateful to You for what You have done. And so this grateful spirit allows us to experience God. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? The second thing is that it is a form of worship and sacrifice to God. The Bible says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. You know, there are times I know that it's difficult to go to church How many of you have found that even though you love God, sometimes you just feel so rotten? Or maybe you never feel rotten. Is there one here who never feels rotten? And it's a sacrifice. It's just a sacrifice to get up and make yourself go sometime. But that's a sacrifice of thanksgiving, because that's why we wind up here on Sundays, isn't it? To thank God, to praise God and give Him thanks for what He's done for us. And sometimes we just have to sacrifice to do that in our own heart and mind to get there so that we can show to the world we have great esteem for God. We're not people who are ungrateful as to what He's done. You know, if someone invited you to show up at their birthday party and they thought you loved them, and so that's why they invited you, but you didn't want to come, what would that show to them? Well, it would show to them that you don't appreciate them that much. And that's exactly the way it is when we don't regularly sacrifice to God to come and worship with others and give thanks to Him and to let Him know we appreciate everything that You've done for us, Lord, in our lives, and we want to be more grateful. So it's a type of worship. It's a sacrifice. And I'm going to, there's several things I want to do in our worship service in the days ahead, and I'm thinking and planning and trying to see how I can do these, but I want to involve more of you in the, and that's why we had three or four men praying today, and I want to have men and women and boys and girls sharing the good things that God has done for them every time we meet together, because that's going to produce such a spirit of worship and understanding of God. And so we're going to try to do that in the days that are ahead. And I'm making a statement about that to you now so that I can be held accountable to make sure that we do that, because worship is not a spectator sport, is it? It's a participation of God's people together, singing and worshiping, but testifying and sharing the good things that God has done for us. And so I want to make that happen more in the future. The third thing I wanted to say about understanding the insight about thanksgiving is also a means of making God known in the world and bringing glory to God, which I've already mentioned. But you know what all that needs to happen to get our nation back to where it needs to be is we as God's people need to make Him known and what He has done to people around us. We need to be telling people on our jobs, at school, at Walmarts, at the banks, every place we go, the things that God has done for us. I was in two banks in 1 week. It was kind of strange. At one bank, I was doing something I do every year at a line of credit that I have, just renewing it. And a woman shared with me, my banker, how one of her friends was saying what good things she experienced when she visited Shepherd's Heart Church. And I thought, my goodness, that's wonderful. Praise God for that. And I said, who was she? And she told me the name. And she said, I think she's going to come and visit at your church. And I said, man, that's great. So she was making known some things, and she evidently visited our church. I went to the next bank, a bank at Liberty Bank, for another reason. And I don't even recall what that was now. But when I went in, the first thing the lady said to me was, she said, you have a wonderful church. She had come to the revival. And so I thought, finally, the banking community is finding out about Shepherd's Heart Church. Maybe they'll start sending some money this way or something, you know. But anyway, it's kind of unusual that I had that experience with people saying things about God at our church. And I think that we as, and I know that all of us at that happen to worship here in this place love our church family. That is so obvious to me as a pastor, that you love each other and that you love and you're willing to help each other, and these things are important to you, and that you love God. So all we need to do is to be thankful out in front of people to God. And I don't mean putting on a show, but just from our hearts, letting people know how much we love and appreciate God for the things He's done for us. Now, I want to read this passage to you that has to do with bringing glory to God through thanksgiving, because I guess we need to look at this together. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, because this is amazing to me. This passage is amazing about the power of thanksgiving. Look in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There the Bible says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. Did you see that? That the glory of God is rebounding. It's like the glory of God is just bouncing around everywhere. And that abundant grace is being moved around and bounced around everywhere. And how does it happen? What's the vehicle? Through thanksgiving. Through thanksgiving, grace is being manifested all around. Do you see that? It's unbelievable that when we start giving God praise and thanks out in the public, that the grace of God in abundance begins to come out of heaven into the hearts of men and into our own life. And the more grace you have in your personal life, the greater is your experience of God and the greater the benefits that we're just fixing to talk about in just a moment. But it's how does this happen? Through thanksgiving. That's the way. So when you become a grateful father, husband, wife, child, you are letting grace enter into your home. You're letting grace fill your life up through the vehicle of thanksgiving. I've never heard that before, but I saw it this week in study, that by our own ability to give thanks to God, we open heaven up for us. Do you see that? Now, the fourth thing about is that it's a barometer of your personal righteousness. And what I mean by that is that the more righteous, we are made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's our positional righteousness. But our experiential righteousness increases through our sanctification process so that we become more righteous, and we'll never get to the point that God's given us credit for it, because we are perfectly righteous in God's sight, but he wants us to grow in our experience of righteousness, and thankfulness is the barometer of that. It's the way that it's measured to let you know you are truly a righteous person. Let me read the verse, and I'll show you how that is brought about. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto your name. The upright shall dwell in his presence. Now, what that means is this, that the more righteous a person lives, the more they have the good sense to give thanks to God. Because, see, a righteous person can deduce much more of reality than an unrighteous person. The more closely you live to God, what this is saying, surely righteous people will give thanks to God. They will become grateful and thankful the more they grow in righteousness in their experience. Now, the fifth thing I wanted to say is that giving thanks produces wonderful benefits and circumstances in our lives. The psalmist said in chapter 92, verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Now, this same statement is echoed 3 or 4 times in the book of Psalms, but all the way through the Bible, it indicates it's a good thing to learn to be grateful and thankful. Now, you understand what goodness is. Goodness, the Bible says that God is good. What that means is God is beneficial to every person that knows him. That when you come in contact with God, good things are going to happen in your life because he is a God of goodness. In the beginning, when he created everything, he looked at what he created, and what did he say? That's good. And when he made mankind, he created him. And then what did he say? That's very good. So what he's saying is that we can be extremely beneficial to the environment, to the animal world, to each other. And that's the way God is to us. And it's good. It's a good thing for us to learn to be grateful. Now, I want to discuss with you the benefits. And there are 31 of them that I want to. And so this might get boring, and I'll stop as soon as I see you getting bored. Or you just hold your hand up to let me go ahead and finish off. But here's how I arrived at this. I found through research that psychiatrists and even scientists and socialists and many people who work in these areas they do lots of experiments about gratitude and thanksgiving. And this, what I'm fixing to share with you, are the benefits that they have scientifically done research on that come to people who have a grateful attitude about life and who give thanksgiving. The more thankful you are, these are the benefits. This comes from 40 different research experiences. But I found out there's many, many more than that, because they have come to understand that there's so much power and benefit when a person simply changes their attitude and become grateful. Now, listen to these. And I've read through how they deduce some of these. And some of them I still don't understand, but they all make sense to me. They say that these are the benefits through scientific research and many, many studies of people who are more grateful than others. Number one, gratitude makes you happier. When you're not happy, just think about it just a minute. Maybe there's all kinds of things that you're not grateful for. When you really start becoming thankful and grateful to God, see, people tend to focus either on what they have or what they don't have. And you may not have much, but if you begin to focus and thank God for that, your whole attitude will change about life. And God will be able to do much more in your life. So happiness is the one. The people who become thankful to God and more gratitude become happier. The second thing is that gratitude makes people like you more. That just makes sense, doesn't it? If you're grateful and thankful to people for what they've done to you and you let them know, they like you more. If you do stuff for people and they act like they're ungrateful about it, what does that do for you? That makes you want to do less. That makes you want to be, because that person's not even grateful for what I have done. You see, that's the way we think. It's also the way that God thinks. God wants us to be grateful, and when we're not grateful to God, God just thinks, well, I guess I'll let them just move on more in their misery until they can come to themselves. And realize, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes where? From above, from the Father of lights, who gives to all men. See, God is registered with this. Every time we're thankful and grateful to God, it creates the capacity for us to receive more from God, and God wants to give more. He always wants to give more. And that's the nature of God. Now, the third thing about that they said was that gratitude makes you healthier. And there's all kinds of things. Did you know every thought that you have triggers other physical responses in your body, right down to the minute cell? The moment you become grateful and thankful, your body responds, they say, to that. That it begins to create new chemicals and substances in your life, in your body, that makes you actually feel better, which is another one of the benefits that's mentioned later on. Your feelings, emotions, a sense of well-being increases when you're grateful or thankful. Number five, gratitude strengthens our emotions. It boosts our career. They found that people who tell others thanks more and are more appreciative, their careers blossom more. Their jobs improve. And that just makes sense, does it? Because in the workforce, all your career advancement is partially due to your effort, and a great deal due to the effort of other people who want to help you, who want to make you successful because of your attitude. How many of you know that a bad attitude is going to get you out the door quicker than a smile and a good attitude? And so in your career, when you become grateful, people think, hey, they notice it, and they want to promote you, or they want to help you achieve more in your life. Gratitude reduces, this one was, of course, obvious. Gratitude makes us more optimistic. How many want to be more optimistic and less pessimistic? Just be grateful, and you'll start looking at life from the standpoint maybe of not what you have, but what God may be able to do in your life, and you become optimistic. And you feel like God can do great things. They said gratitude develops your personality. Did you know your personality comes alive at different points in your experience with God? The more you are filled with the Spirit, the greater is your personality. I can tell you that. The more attractive you become to other people in your personality. Because a spiritual personality is full of goodness, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those kind of things. Who doesn't like that? Who doesn't like to be around people who have that kind of personality going for them. How many of you just love to be around an old sourpuss? Could I see your hands? Well, nobody. Nobody does. How many of you just love to be around somebody that's critical about everything that's said, done, or seen? Well, nobody. Nobody likes to be around. See, so your personality takes on a force of God when you're grateful, because everybody loves to be around people that are grateful and thankful. And they they said you even look better. And I thought, how can they figure that out? But I know it's true. Have you ever seen bitterness on the face of someone? You just look at their face and it's filled with bitterness. Or you hear it in their voice. You can hear bitterness and you can see it etched on the faces of people. Well, when you don't have that, instead you have gratitude, something else appears on your face. Your face changes. It softens. It expresses. You can see, you can literally see love on a person's face that's in their hearts. And you can see hatred and hostility. When that's in a person's heart, it is seen on their face. I don't even know how, do you? It's a mystical to me, but all of us know what I'm talking about and know it's true, that so much of the inner life of a person can be seen in their face. And so they said that gratitude causes you to be more attractive to people, and it does. When you see somebody with a grateful smile and an expression of gratitude, it warms your heart, doesn't it? It causes you to want to be with them more. I don't have time to cover all of these. I wish I did, but let me just mention, pick out some. Your self-esteem grows greatly when you become grateful to others. You have less trips to the doctor. It lets you live longer. Gratitude, they say, scientifically proved, increases your energy level. Have you ever been worn out and then all of a sudden had an energy come into your body? I mean, that's happened to all of us. When we come to church, I know so many of you have testified Wednesday night, hard to get there on Wednesday night, but every time I go, I get an energy boost. And energy actually enters into your body. And when you're thankful and energy, let me tell you something, the more I've read about this from scientific approaches, they don't know what energy is. Scientists do not know what energy is. They just know it's there. And sometimes they say it comes mystically into our bodies. I was reading something about the DNA processes, and they say that there is a quantum vacuum that's working. And what a quantum vacuum is where there's nothing in that. I mean, it's nothing there. It's a vacuum. It's an energy vacuum, and then they say all of a sudden the energy's there in some of these metabolic processes in our DNA, and they have no explanation for where the energy came from. That's God is energy, God is power, and God could give it to any one of us anytime. And the more grateful you are and thankful you are, the greater will be that energy source in your life. And so, real quickly here, it reduces energy. Your memories, they say, are happier. I found that to be very enticing to me. The Bible says that memories of the how does that go, Carolyn? Blessed is blessed. Yeah, that when you think of people, that there's a blessing that occurs in your life. Thinking about a just person in your life, your memories are happy about them. Mary, when I was looking at the pictures of us there being out at Niagara Falls. And there was two things that really surprised me about that picture. One is how big Carolyn's mouth was opened up. I thought, gosh, you know. but the smile was, it was smiling too, you know, and digging everything. And then I thought how much I looked like David. And I remember how he looked that day. And I got such a blessing, not looking at that picture, but the picture in my mind of him, that I remembered so much, it just filled me up with joy. So your memories are happier when you're thankful. Have I sold you on this yet? Okay, I don't have time to cover all these 31, so let me get to how you develop it, okay? How you develop a spirit of attitude, because right now, if I can measure your attitudes of gratitude, some of us would be like on a 2. Some of us would be in the minus section, maybe. Some of us would be 4. 5, some of us would be way up there at 8 or 9, so appreciative, so thankful, so grateful for what God has done. So let me help all of us by learning how to increase this, and we're going to finish up here in just a few minutes. Here's four ways you can increase your gratitude and thankfulness. The first one is this, is you schedule and organize times that you give thanks to God every day as a vow unto Him. Now, I know that a lot of you don't want to make vows to God. And why is that? Because you don't want to keep them. But I have made vows to God that I was scared to make because of that very reason. But I am so grateful that I made some vows to God because I have kept them. And even if I don't keep one perfectly, as I have made some vows to God, and I remember I vowed to God that I would spend time with Him every day in the Scripture 35, 40 years ago. And I did it with fear and trembling because at that time I wasn't spending time in the Scriptures every day. But the vow and the way that God dealt, said, just all you got to do is just read one verse, and you've done that. Can you do that? I said, yes, sir, I will. So what happened is I began to spend lots of time with God, and so it was no longer hard. I love to. But I remember a time that I remembered the day had passed, and I went to sleep, and I had not spent time in the Bible. This was maybe 20 years afterwards, and I woke up. I thought, oh, God, I'm sorry I broke this vow. And God was just like, shucks, James. You know, and you wanted to. You just forgot to. It was nothing, you know. And forgiveness was easy to come about. So I was marrying a couple once, and the lady that I was going to be marrying was sitting out there, and I was going over the vows with somebody else taking her place with her groom, husband-to-be. And while I was saying, now, here are the vows, I saw her shaking her head, said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, she told her mama, I'm not going to promise I'm going to obey Him and love Him every day and stuff like that. And I can see her telling her mother that. And I wanted to say, I can see you. But what I did, I just stopped the wedding. I said, wait a minute, sweetie. Did I hear you say you wasn't going to do these vows? And man, was she shocked. Her face went white and she didn't say anything. And I said, well, here, let me tell you right now. If you won't say these vows, you need to find another preacher. Because I'm not going to marry you if you will not promise this man these things. Because you will promise people things that you love. And you may not fulfill all your promises, but you'll try if you love them. And I've broken promises to Carolyn and to my children. I told Tanya I'd buy her a horse once, and I never did, and I'm never going to. But she has let me know about it lots of times, and it's made me do some things and want to do some things, too, for her. But anyway, what I'm saying is this. You promise people that you love things and you don't mind promising them. I've promised Carolyn I would never leave her or forsake her. I've promised her a lot of things in life, and I do my best to do them. But see, you ought to make vows to God, and one of them ought to be that you're going to become thankful and that you're going to spend some time with Him. Let me hurriedly read where I'm getting this. David said, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto you because of your righteous judgment. See, what he did is David planned to wake up at midnight and start praising God. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and that's what you started doing? Now, I'm not going to make this vow that I'm going to wake up at midnight and do this, but I have done this a lot of times. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I lift my hands up in the air and just hold them up and start thanking God and praising God. But David said, I am going to do this because he wanted to show God how much he was thankful and grateful. Daniel had another idea. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, you remember the story, nobody's going to pray to any other god, Nebuchadnezzar said. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before God as he did before. You see, what he had already made a plan three times, at breakfast time, at noon, at supper, I'm going to go into my place of prayer, I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to thank God. And when they told him he could no longer do that, it did not change. He was willing to die in order to keep that vow to God. Be thankful to God. So schedule times that you're going to remind yourself to thank God. Do it every time you eat. I know I've told this story, but some of you were not here when I told it. When Caleb went home with one of our music directors, and he had a son about his age, when they went home to eat their lunch, they were from Sunday's church, they all started eating, and they didn't pray before their meal. And Caleb wasn't eating. He was just looking at them, and he was thinking about that. And so the man said, "You know what we forgot," said the preacher's son, "is not eating." Said, "Caleb, is it because we haven't prayed we forgot to pray?" And Caleb said, "That's right." He said, "We always pray at our house before we eat, but you guys are just like our dogs. Y'all jump right in there." You know, and so, you know, and, you know, I'm glad he said that, because we need to be grateful and thankful, not be just like our dogs and just jump right in there. Now, the second thing about becoming grateful, use songs to call to mind the attributes of God and thank God in a song. "Sing unto the Lord, O you saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Like a lot of times I will sing, some of the best singing I've ever heard was me by myself and no other human ear. You should have heard it. And as I sing to God that way, I may not even be hitting a tune, but God has told me he loves it. And you could sing to him, and there's something mystical about singing. You know that's so. You can hear a song on the radio, and it can take you back 20 years, 30 years. It can cause you to have emotions and feelings. There's something mystical about singing, something sweet about songs between people. And God wants you to sing to him. And that's why in our worship service, I'm not singing to be heard, because I know I set you by Dan. You know that ain't so, don't you, Dan? As a matter of fact, I sing so loud by some people, I see them moving off like this, you know, while I'm worshiping. But I'm singing to God, and God loves it. Make melody in your heart to God, the Bible says. He loves it. He loves for you to sing to him. So you can do that and practice thanksgiving to God just all by yourself. The third thing, give thanks in everything. The book of Ephesians 5:20 says, in everything, be thankful to God. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that God caused all the bad things to happen that happened to us. That's not the will of God. What the will of God is, no matter what happens to us, we're going to be thankful and give God thanks to whatever things we can in our life. And every bad thing that can ever happen to us, yet we can see some good things, even in the midst of that. And God says, this is my will for you, that even when you go through the most difficult of things, that I still see you are grateful, that your heart is still saying, thank you, God, for what you have done. The last thing I want to say, and then we're finished. You can develop a freedom from anxiety by praying about everything and relaxing in the presence of God as you give thanks to God for everything you've prayed about. And the Bible says the peace of God that cannot be figured out will keep you. It'll keep your mind. And I love this, because one of the things, the benefits in this, in the studies, was that people who are grateful and thankful have a greater ability just to relax. Have you ever been so tense? You're on vacation 2 days and you're still tensed. Are you can't come in from a job and you try to relax and you're still not relaxed? Next time, do this. Sit down and say, thank you, God, for the food that I ate today. Thank you, Lord, for the oxygen that was breathed into my body. Thank you for the night. Thank you for my kids. Start thanking God. You'll feel your muscles turn to putty, and you'll start relaxing in the presence of God, and then the peace of God just will overflow you, and you'll begin to have the most wonderful feeling inside, because God has given us a spirit of thanksgiving to really know how much he loves us, how much he really does care for us, and how much he will take care of us. Let's bow our heads together here in prayer, and as we close this Thanksgiving message out, We'll begin this. We'll begin right now to help you and help me. Everybody who is thankful and grateful to God, just lift your hands up in the air and just say, praise you. All over, let me hear that. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You've been so good to us. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here without Christ, it's so simple to get saved. You just have to turn away from your own self and turn to Him. All you have to do is quit trying and start trusting God. Put your faith in Jesus. He died for you, and He will be living for you for eternity. And make Him the boss. Get out of ownership and get under His management and let Him manage your life. Turn it over to Him. Pray this prayer, and He will come into your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, today I repent of my sins. Pray that. I'm repenting. I'm turning to You. Today I'm asking You to forgive me. And today I'm making You the boss of my life.